Let's pray. Father God, you are good and worthy of praise. Thank you, Lord, for now, this time that we have to listen to you through your word and by the power of your spirit. Speak to us as never before, Lord. Encourage our hearts. We need to hear from you. We desire to see your activity in our lives. We desire you take the lead, Lord, and we follow you. So give us what we need to hear today to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. So as I mentioned before, we are facing another shutdown here in California, believe it or not, as a result of the COVID-19 cases that are still on the rise. And what I want to encourage you with today, the title of our sermon today is An Understanding of the Times. Let me say that again. An understanding of the times. I want you to be equipped to understand the times that we are in and know that God is still God, to know that God is still sovereign, to know that God is still on the throne, to that you would know that God still desires to use you and to minister to you for such a time as this. This is God's will for you and me, that we would understand the time. See, small business owners, I just found out here recently that there are some small businesses in our area that are they're losing their business as a result of what's going on, and they will no longer be in business again. And some of these are family-run businesses that have been handed down from generation to generation, and they're small businesses, and they're losing their business. School districts are proposing virtual classrooms, right? Virtual classrooms for students. And that's new. That's a new thing. And many parents are going to have to adapt to practically homeschooling or being aware of what their children are undergoing. Some tech companies have proposed and ensured that many people who are working from home will continue to work from home. And in other words, they're not coming back in that face-to-face environment for many of the companies, especially here in California, where we have Silicon Valley. And many of them have decided that, okay, no longer will those that have the ability to work from home, no longer will they come back to our campuses. What's interesting is social unrest is still a reality in many of the states that we live in. And people want to see change regarding equity, regarding race, regarding, equality. And they want to see change, and rightly so, but there's so much civil unrest that's still unfolding before our very eyes. I want to encourage you to be aware of the times that we're living in, to know what's going on, to understand these times that you and I live in. Believers, of all people, believers should be aware. I think we should be contemporary for sure. Contemporary means living in the current time. And so we have contemporary churches, right? Those are churches that are living in the current time. Those are churches that are focused on current issues. They are relevant because they see things the way they are in their sphere of influence, if you will, in their society, in their community, and they minister accordingly. And that's what a contemporary church does. You know, for many years, I think the church, not all church, but I think in some churches for many years, they've been behind the curve, if you know what I mean. They've been behind in many ways. I remember way back, there were no contemporary instruments in church. Way. It was the organ and it was the piano. And the church was kind of behind in allowing contemporary instruments like guitar and bass and drums and that to come into place. I remember here in the Bay Area, there's a well-known family, the Hawkins family. They were pioneers, the Hawkins, Edward Hawkins and Edwin Hawkins and Walter Hawkins, and then Andre Crouch for the gospel community. They were pioneers in that they were like bands, but they were playing gospel, what became gospel music. And this, they were cutting edge because they were using instruments that weren't necessarily accepted in a church for the most part, but have become popular. And so I even remember, I'm old enough to remember when hip hop came in. Now, some of you may say, well, hip hop has always been, but I remember when back in the 80s, remember that, the 80s? Some of you remember the 80s with Grandmaster Flash and all that. And then many other rappers came into place, Eminem and Snoop Dogg and all these folks, you know, the rappers. At one time, that was taboo in churches. I remember there was some rappers, some Christian rappers in my community, and they would go to some churches, and the churches, for the most part, would minimize what they were saying because it was something that churches weren't into. It was something that churches say, I don't know about this. We didn't see Jesus rapping. You know, some people would just go there with it, right? And so the church in many, many cases has been somewhat behind the curve when it comes to these particular things. And the thing that I want to bring out here is that in some cases, the churches would divide on these particular issues. In some cases, churches would divide on, well, we don't have music, we just do a cappella, or we don't have, you know, we don't have Christian rappers. And they would actually divide it and take sides, if you will. It reminds me of when the disciples saw some other people preaching in Jesus' name, and they told Jesus. And Jesus said, well, wait a minute, if they're not against us, they're for us. That we, you and I should not draw sides when it comes to non-essential things regarding the kingdom. Let me say that again. You and I, we should not draw sides on non-essential things in the kingdom. Drawing sides, that's divisive. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that there's schisms among you. There's division among you when you side with Peter, or you side with Paul, or you side with Apollos. When you side with other folks, this causes division. And so I want to encourage you today to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to understand the times so that we can move forward in ways that God desires that you and I move forward. Hallelujah. See, there's so much that God wants to do right now. I remember Isaiah says this, and God is speaking through the prophet Isaiah. He said, you know what? Behold, I do a new thing. Shall you not know it? It will come to pass. And he goes on and he says, I will make rivers in the desert. The ostrich and the jackals, they will benefit from this. They will benefit from what I'm doing for you. I'm doing a new thing for you. And I want to encourage you, have your eyes wide open. Oh, I want to encourage you, be looking right now. See, right now, God is saying, I'm doing a new thing. You know, you are hearing this term right now. You're hearing this term, new normal. How many of you heard that term, new normal, somewhere either in a news broadcast or in some interview? We're hearing this term, new normal. And what they mean by that is what used to be won't be anymore. Some of us know that. Now, there are going to be some remnants of what we used to do. There's going to be some activity based on how we used to do that. But I want to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, this time that we are in right now is going to go down in history as a game changer for everybody. Oh, yes. This is a game changer for everybody, the whole world will see this as a pivotal point in society. And I want to let you know that God works in these pivotal points. You know, God is sovereign, and that means these pivotal points, he's fully aware of what's going on. And guess what? He wants to use you, and he wants to use me during these pivotal points in history. And so you and I have the blessed opportunity to be used by God right now, when many places in the country are shut down, many people are impacted by the COVID-19 pandemic, many people are participating and victims of civil unrest, if you will. This is the time for God to use his people. Oh, glory to God. This is the time that God is saying, I want to use you. I want you to be aware. I want you to know what's going on. I don't want you to get swept up in any of these minimal controversies. I want you to stay focused on me. That's what the Lord says today. I pray that you are hearing this message down, and it's going down deep in your heart. God says, I want you to focus on me. Let me be your guide, and let me be your God during this time when so many voices are being heard. Praise God. Now you say, okay, well, Pastor Will, I hear what you're saying. Could you provide an example of what you mean? I sure can. In fact, I want you to turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. We're going to look at a passage of scripture in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 that helps us to understand this dynamic of being aware of what's going on. Here, I'll give you a little backstory. What's happening is David has become king, and now the armies are aligning themselves with David. In other words, many have been in Saul's army, which was the previous king, and they're saying, hey, we're making David king. We are going to align ourselves with God's king, and he is David. And we find that here in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Now, I want you to look at this, because what he does is he names lots of tribes, or lots of mighty men of valor, and he names them by tribe. So these men in this army represent the 12 tribes of Israel. And so what we discover is when we get down to 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32, they mention some sons of Issachar. And look at what it says here. It says, of the sons of Issachar, who had an understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do, their chiefs were 200, and all their brethren were at their command. Now, if you just read that and you whiz by that, you can miss some of what the scripture is saying. In fact, I like to look at it from the New Living Translation. It says this, from the tribe of Issachar, there were 200 leaders of the tribe with their relatives, right? All these men understood the sign of the times and knew the best course for Israel to take. Everybody see that there? Here, I'm so thankful that we see that many of these soldiers, many of these men that were in David's army, they all specialize in particular things. And the sons of Issachar, they specialize in knowing the times, knowing what was going on, having their ear to the ground of the culture, if you will, having their hand on the pulse of the culture. They were able to make inroads with David's army by helping people understand the times that they were in. I like what Matthew Henry, who wrote a commentary, some of you may even have Matthew Henry's commentary. I like what he says about this. Look at what it says. He says, they, the sons of Issachar, they understood the natural times. They could discern the face of the sky. They were weather wise. They could advise their neighbors in the proper time for plowing and reaping and sowing. They understood the ceremonial times and the times appointed for the feast. They understood the political times. They understood public affairs, the temper of the nation, and the tendencies of the present events. Those of that tribe were greatly intent on public affairs and had good intelligence from abroad and made good use of that intelligence. Oh, I pray that we have some of the tribe of Issachar amongst us. Let me bring it home a little bit. I'm so thankful that I have an opportunity to have my mom, and I thank God for my mother, and I'm like a son of Issachar to her. Well, what do you mean, Pastor Will? Well, you know, I visit my mom regularly. My wife and I, we go every Thanksgiving to spend time with her, and usually when we do, we help her with some kind of technology, right? She either gets a laptop, a computer, or I think last year it was flat panels for her rooms, right? Every year we go, there's something that we are doing to keep her abreast of what's going on in society. And so when we're back at home, my wife and I, we both say, man, mom is really up on a lot of stuff, right? And it's because for the most part, we're like the son. I'm like the son of Issachar, keeping her informed, keeping her current, keeping her utilizing current technology. Oh, let me help you understand. You can't live life alone. Let me help you. And I pray that you have some Issachars around you. I mentioned the fact that I'm like an Issachar to my mom, but let me let you know, I have some Issachars in my life too. And Joe, you guys hear me talking about Joe from time to time. He makes this happen. But Joe is one of my sons of Issachar. He keep me up posted on what's going on. Stacy, you millennials, hallelujah. I espouse millennials. Some people say, them millennials, you know, they do this and they do that. No, millennials, come on. I want millennials in my life so I can know what's going on for these times and for these seasons. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. See, God never intended for us to live life solo, to live life alone. This is why he's put so many members, if you will, in the church with different gifts. We all shouldn't have the same gift. We all shouldn't see things the same way as it pertains to how we minister. Now, the message is the same, but the methods may be different. And we should espouse the different methods, but stay focused on the same message. Hallelujah. So I pray that if you are got a little gray in your hair, I pray that you gather some Issachars around you so that they can keep you relevant. They can keep you knowing the times and the seasons. They can keep you knowing the technology and what's going on. Even the language. There's some terms that I wasn't fully aware of, you know, and now I'm learning some of the current lingo, some of the current language. We have to stay relevant, and God wants us to stay relevant. See, he wants us to be aware of the times that we are living in. See, it's important for us to stay current and meaningful, reaching people in this current culture with the gospel of Jesus Christ. See, I mentioned sometimes in times past, sometimes the church was behind the curve. And what that meant was they weren't able to minister to people in ways that God may have wanted them to, because they were only focused inwardly. They were only focused on the church itself. And what we're not going to have happen here, young man and young lady, you can't come in here looking like that. You have to take that lipstick off and you have to lower that skirt. And I understand that many people meant well, but in the same time, oftentimes they were discriminating against those who really needed the gospel. Let me just say this. Come into the church. If your skirt is a little short or you got a little makeup on your face, let the Holy Spirit become your tailor. Let the Holy Spirit begin to let you know that the skirt is too short. Now, I thank God for our mothers, and our mothers, they would have blankets and shawls that they would give to sisters that had short skirts. Say, hey, sister, go put this shawl on while you're sitting down. And they would lovingly do that, right? And so here we have an opportunity to know the times and not discriminate against people who may not fit our church culture, if you will, who may not fit what the church normally does. You know what? None of us fit the church. When we came in, I remember when I got saved and I'm walking with the Lord, I was I had been an outcast. I had been caught up in addiction. And so I'm so thankful that the church that I actually joined, they received me with whole arms. And they say, Pastor, well, they didn't call me Pastor Will, but they say, Brother Will, welcome, Brother Will. And they allowed Brother Will to join that assembly, and they allowed the Holy Spirit to work on Brother Will. Oh, hallelujah. They let the Holy Spirit work on Brother Will. As long as Brother Will was coming, see, he was getting fed. He was learning about his relationship with God. He was participating in Bible study. He was participating in prayer. He was participating in worship service. And as such, the Holy Spirit began to work in Brother Will. See, we cannot change folks. Oh, hallelujah. We can't change people. Only the Spirit of God can change people. That, did you know that he that's what he does. Let me just say it that way. He changes people from the inside out. Man tries to change people from the outside in. They'll say, don't wear this, don't say this, don't go here, don't do that. God says, I'm going to work with you on the inside, because when I change you on the inside, it's going to manifest on the outside. Oh, hallelujah. What I do on the inside of you is going to be seen on the outside of you. So you and I want to be relevant during this time. We want to be relevant as to what's going on, so we can share the gospel in ways that people can receive the gospel, because we're contemporary. Remember that term? It means that we're in the here and now. We're in the current stage. We're in a current situation. We're in a current culture. We're in the current events, if you will, like the sons of Issachar. And I want to share this. Look with me at Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. It says here, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is what? Is wise. Notice that. He who wins souls is wise. We're not waiting for people to get right and then come into our fellowship. We're not waiting for people to dust themselves off and then we engage with them. No, he who is wise is considerate of the times that we are living in, and they're looking for opportunities to share the gospel, because they know that there is power in the gospel. Hallelujah. See, there is. Look with me, Romans chapter 1, and this is where we draw the majority of our sermon from. We're going to be looking at Romans, so you can go ahead and turn to Romans, because I'm going to refer to a few passages in Romans. And here, remember, we're talking about understanding the times, and what God desires that you and I would understand. He would desire that you and I would understand that it's during this time that he wants to use you to share the gospel with others. Oh yeah, let me let that rest on your heart. See, we come to church and we get built up and we get fed. Well, guess what? God is saying, now I want you to go out and give. Now, I know we're in shelter in place, but there's other ways of engaging with people to share the reason for the hope that lies within you. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Look at what it says here. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. Everybody see that there? So what I like to do is I like to share four facts about the gospel. Four facts that I want you to understand about the gospel. And you can write these down if you're taking notes. Four facts. Number one, the gospel is powerful. The gospel is powerful. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Hallelujah. Did you know that God uses the gospel to save us? We'll get to another point there. But here, that means the gospel is powerful. I mentioned the fact that I was caught up in addiction at one time, which I was. And some of you know what that's like. Some of you may not have been caught up in addiction, but you were in a place that you could not save yourself. And you heard the fact that God still loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. You heard that God God was not holding you accountable for what you had done to your life. As long as you confess your sins and repent, he is there to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some of you heard that God is a healer. He's a lover of your soul. And you say, you know what? I made a mess of my life. I want God to come into my life. I want God to make me new. I want another chance with God. Hallelujah. And God gave you that chance when you accepted his way, which is Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And guess what? That gospel was able to go way beyond addiction. Hallelujah. That gospel is able to go way beyond bipolar or any other mental health issue. The gospel of Jesus Christ, it transcends alcoholism. It goes way deeper than alcoholism. Notice what I'm saying. See, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God. It's the power of God released by the truth. Jesus said it this way: you will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make you free. He didn't say self-help group will make you free, Alcohol Anonymous will make you free, and I don't have anything against any of those, but really the true power, if you will, lies in the truth of the gospel. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And the truth is, God loves you. Oh, praise God. For those of you who are in this meeting right now, I just want to let you know God loves you. Did you know that? No matter what you're going through, God still loves you. Oh yes, he loves you, he loves you, and he desires to lead life for you. He desires that you are enveloped by his love and that you would trust him with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. That's what he desires. Hallelujah. I can see some chat. Somebody saying, preach it, Pastor. Preach. Oh, come on now. Come on. Oh, I see it now. I see it now. Praise God. I see my help coming on. I got an amen corner. Praise God. Hallelujah. So here, God says, the gospel is the power of God. See, it goes beyond anything that you and I have ever done. It really does. While we were yet dead in trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. There's nothing. Did you know that there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God? Nothing. There's nothing too high, nothing too low, nothing too wide. There's no principality, no power, no spiritual entity, no angel. There's no person that can separate you and I from the love of God. Why? Because the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So number one, the gospel is powerful. Number two, the second fact about the gospel is the gospel saves. The gospel saves. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13 says this: in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. See, there it is again. You heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. See, there it is. The gospel saves. Not only is the gospel powerful to reach us, but the gospel is powerful to save us. It's a good thing to hear a good message. I've heard several good messages in life. How many of you have heard good messages? I've heard good messages, but that's as far as it went. I heard a good message, but I still wasn't able to do it. I heard what I should do, but I wasn't able to do it. You know, I know that there's some people that kind of struggle with their weight from time to time, right? And you might communicate that to somebody and they become the expert. Yeah, all you have to do is eat this and get your metabolism to do that. And yeah, just cut this out of your diet. And you're looking at them and they pretty, you know, I don't know if they practicing what they're preaching. Let me just say it that way. And they're going on and they seem to be an expert at what they're saying, but it's different or it's difficult to apply what they need to do. Hallelujah. So we can hear a good message. We can hear the appropriate thing to do for lack of better terms. We can hear some good instruction, but see, not only is the gospel powerful in that it reaches us, but the gospel also saves us. Glory to God. It gives us the ability in Christ to do, once you say, yes, I believe, the Holy Spirit of God comes in you. Notice what he said. He says that when you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, meaning the Holy Spirit came and resided in you, and the ability that you didn't have before, you have through the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you. Those things that you couldn't stop before, you can stop now because the Holy Spirit of God is giving you what's necessary to see them, first of all, as needs to stop, if you will, or problematic in your life. And then the Holy Spirit empowers you to address the problem by refraining. Sometimes it's a little faster, sometimes it's a little slower, but I want to encourage you, just trust in the Holy Spirit of God in you for whatever it is that he wants to correct in you. Don't trust in yourself. Oh, I can do this. I know God now. Now I have willpower. No, it's not about willpower. If it was, I would be the most powerful because my name is Will, right? Here, it's not about willpower. It's about the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God who lives inside of you. Oh, glory to God. I hope you're getting that today. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that lives inside of you that's saved. See, so number one, the gospel is powerful. Number two, the gospel saves. And then number three, let's look at this. Number three, the gospel is for everyone. It's for everyone. Believers don't have a monopoly on the gospel. Look at what it says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Look at what it says. It says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say those who are living right, those who are giving to charity, those who were born in the church or baptized as an infant. It doesn't say that. It says whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, you want to know that for such a time as this, ladies and gentlemen. There are people that don't agree with your politics, but they still need to be saved. There are people that don't agree with what you agree with, even theologically, but they still need to be saved. See, God is able to save to the utmost. And if you and I are focused on politics, if you and I are focused on these things that divide people, we miss opportunities to share the gospel. Why? Because the gospel is for everyone. Oh, glory to God. When you're getting your gas, you might see somebody that needs the gospel. When you're at the laundromat, you might see somebody who needs the gospel. When you're in the grocery store, you may see someone who needs the gospel. When you're on your walk and you're just walking in your neighborhood, you may see someone who needs the gospel. When you're walking in the parks around here, which many people are doing, you may see someone who needs the gospel. And if you and I are not aware of these times, if we're not aware that God is wanting to use us, we can walk right past them and not share the very life-giving gospel, the gospel that brings about salvation. We can walk right past them and never share what we have. Oh, I know I'm going to be planning on taking some time off here real soon. And I was talking to a friend of my wife and I, and we were talking, and she was saying, well, you know, if you go to this area, there's this great restaurant. And I said, oh, yeah, you know, I think that's by the restaurant that I began to recommend to her. So I was recommending a restaurant to her. She was recommending a restaurant to me. And so when things are good to us, don't we share that? Oh, yeah, sometimes we can't wait. You know, guess what? I just saw such and such and such, or I just experienced this particular thing. And sometimes we can't wait to share that with someone. Oh, I pray that that would be how you view the gospel. And you can't wait to give people a reason for the hope that lies within you. That you can't wait to say, yes, you know what? I hear what you're saying, but there's a God who loves you. There's a God who is sovereign, that you can't wait to share that. So the gospel is powerful. The gospel saves. The gospel is for everyone. And number four, people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the words of truth that bring about salvation. Look at what it says in Romans. Now, we're going to stay in Romans for a while because there's a pattern I'm going to show you here in the book of Romans that I'd like for you to learn. Romans chapter 10, look at verse 14 and 15. It says this, how then shall they call on him they have not believed. Now, remember, our last passage was Romans chapter 10, verse 13, just a verse up that says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So then 14 goes on and he says, well, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And then how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And then how shall they hear without a preacher? And then how shall they preach unless they are sent? And then he quotes Isaiah, which says, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Everybody see that there? Here, people need to hear the gospel. They need to hear the gospel. During this time, with so much going on in our culture, I want to equip Impact members. I want to equip Impact guests. I want to equip Impact friends to understand that God is saying it's during this time that the gospel should be preached. Why should the gospel be preached? Well, it's the gospel of peace, number one. And how many of you know we need peace in our land today? Absolutely, it's the gospel of peace. That's one of the reasons. And so what I'd like to do in the balance of this message, I'm gonna answer a question that some of you may be asking right now. Okay, Pastor Will, so what is the gospel? I heard that the gospel is powerful. I heard that it saves. I heard that it's for everybody. I heard that people need to hear it. So what is the gospel? And how can I share that gospel, Pastor Will? Well, guess what? I'm gonna give you the ability or the means of being able to share the gospel. And I want you to turn with me, and I want you to turn to each one of these passages of scripture. I want you to highlight it in your Bible, because it's called, if some of you are familiar with what's called the Romans Road. The Romans Road, yeah. The Romans Road is a way that you can share the gospel. And you know what? You can memorize these passages. I'm not saying you have to, but it's really good for you to memorize these passages so that you can have a good bearing as to how to share the gospel with someone. And so the Romans Road, I'm going to just mention four things about this Romans Road, about the gospel and sin. Number one, we are separated from God because of our sin. We are. Remember, God created man in his image and in his likeness, and man fell into sin. And the Bible tells us when man sinned, everybody sinned. From that point on, everybody was born in sin. So because we're born in sin, we're separated from God. Look at what Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says. Now, I want you to highlight this in your Bible. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many of you heard that passage before? See, there it is. See, some of you know that. So that's your first step. Hey, you know, Joe or Jill or Shaquan or Devontae, you know, God loves you, and we're none of us are righteous. None of us. We all sin. See, anybody can have that as an introduction, if you will, to the gospel in their conversation. Number two, the penalty for our sin is death. Let me say that again. The penalty for our sin is death. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. See, we're staying right there on the Romans Road, right? Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says this, for the wages of sin is what? Death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everybody see that there? So here what we discover, that sin separated us from God, and there's a penalty of sin, or there's a wage for sin. And that wage for sin, the payday, if you will, is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Everybody see that? So the gospel, it talks about where man is, but it also shares where man can be, where man can go. For the wages of sin is death. That is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. However, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how do I receive that gift? Well, number three, Jesus Christ paid the penalty for our sin. Everybody see that? Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Look at Romans chapter 5 now. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. See, we're still on the Romans road. But God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See that there? You didn't get yourself right. You couldn't make yourself good. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And some people say, well, I'm good. No, Jesus said there's no one good but God. Remember, he said that to the lawyer. There's no one good but God. And you may be sharing the gospel with someone. You want to know that they may say they're good, but they can't be without a relationship with God, because only God is good. And Christ paid the penalty for our sin. He did. He demonstrated his own love for us while we were still sinners. Christ died for you and for me. Yeah, that's what he's done. We were without strength, the Bible says. When you were without strength, without the ability to do anything about your situation, Christ died for you. Oh, that's good. And then number four, if we repent of our sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we will be saved from our sins. See, that's it. If we repent. That's a word that you don't hear a whole lot anymore, repent. There's a lot of words in Scripture you just don't hear anymore. Repent, it means to turn around. It's not to do a 360, by the way. Repent is a 180. 180 is a halfway turn. It's as if I'm looking at you now and I turn around and I do a 180, then you'd be looking at the back of my head, because that means I've turned in another direction and I'm going another way. And that's what repentance is. It's not, you know, turning and then coming back and then turning and then coming back. That's not repentance. You may be on the way to repent. And I know some people have tried and tried and tried until one day they submitted to the plan of God, or they submitted to the Spirit of God working in their lives. But let me let you know that true repentance is forsaking what it is that God is saying forsake, and it's choosing him. It's choosing his path. It's choosing his plan. It's choosing salvation in this particular case. It's true repentance. It's not a 360. It's a 180. And I want to encourage you, if you have not done that, that you would today. In fact, you're hearing the gospel. And for those of you who know the gospel, I pray that I'm empowering you or equipping you to be able to share the reason for the hope that lies within you, to be able to share the gospel in casual conversation. Why? Because such a time as this, God is calling you. See, if we repent of our sins and confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we will be saved. Look at Romans chapter 10. And this is what we're going to leave out on. Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Did you see that there? Here, we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Yes. So he goes back and he says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, some of you are saying, Pastor Will, this is a really basic sermon this week. This is really basic. It is basic. And you know what? From time to time, I have to get back to basics. Is there anybody else out there? From time to time, there's so much going on that I say, you know what? I need to get back to basics. I was mentioning the fact that Joe and I are working here, and we're working together to provide this visual representation of our service. And we had lots of things in the works, and we were doing all kinds of things, and some of it was working and some of it wasn't. And we say, you know what? Let's just get back to basics. Let's get back to the basics of how this is supposed to operate, and let's build from there. See, God wants some of you to get back to the basics. You've been in prophetic conferences, and you've been in all kinds of things, and you are all over the map. And God is saying, no, I want you to hone in. And I want you to understand that you shine as a light in darkness and as salt in the earth. And the way you do that primarily is sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the commission that Jesus gave his disciples? In Matthew chapter 28, he says, go, therefore, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Now you go and you preach to all nations and you make disciples of all men, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let me let you know, ladies and gentlemen, he wasn't just talking to Pastor Will. He wasn't just talking to the apostles of that day. He wasn't just referencing, let me say it that way. He was talking to the apostles, but he was including you and me in that commission. That's why it's called the Great Commission. We are all commissioned to share the gospel. So you say, well, Pastor Will, I don't know how to share the gospel. Well, I've just given you the Romans Road, and I want to encourage you, if you've been taking notes or you wrote that down, or if you didn't write it down, I want you to review the sermon when it's available to you. Review the sermon so that you understand the Romans Road. And then what you can do is you can align yourself. You can say, hey, you know what? I want to get involved in my church in ways that help the church to share the gospel. I may not be able to speak right now, or you may be inside right now, but our church is doing something. It's reaching out to someone or some groups, and I want to get involved in that so I can learn how to share my faith. I can learn how to communicate with others. I can learn how to engage with others. I do want to encourage you to do that. See, I've even made an appeal earlier on that we have a children's ministry that we're looking at launching here real soon, and we need some help in that regard. And you say, well, Pastor Will, maybe I can get involved in that, and that can help me to know how to share the gospel. That can help me to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within me, to answer everyone. See, there's ways that you can move forward with being able to prepare yourself to have those substantial conversations. And I'm going to say this. You know, there's many people that say, well, I do lifestyle evangelism. I let people see my life. Well, people saw Jesus's life, but he still gave them the word. He still shared biblically with them, right? He still shared parables with them. He still taught them. They saw his life, but he taught them. And I want to encourage you, don't let lifestyle evangelism alone be your approach. I was having lunch with a guy that I had met. I had taken my motorcycle, and I went on a ride with some guys, and I was talking to a guy, and he was talking, and he said, yeah, I've been walking with the Lord for a while, and he said, you know, every now and then I drop an F-bomb, you know, every now and then. Some of you know what that means. Every now and then, you know, I'll slip up and I'll cuss and that kind of thing. But they know they know I'm a Christian. And I'm saying, I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying, but that's not the culture of the Christian. That might be the struggle from time to time, but somewhere in our lives, the Holy Spirit of God should give us power over cussing every now and then. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying cussing gonna send you to hell. I'm just saying we're talking in the context of the gospel. We're talking in the context of shining as lights. And so I want to elevate your walk if I can. I want to elevate the standard of your walk. The standard of your walk, that might be the struggle, but that's not the norm. That might be the struggle, but that's not the standard. See, just identifying through your life. Yeah, you know, I do this every now and then. I do that every now and then. You know, I am human. Well, you know what? You are not human. You are bought with a price. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So no, it's not I'm only human. No, I have the supernatural power of God living in me through the power of his Holy Spirit, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So don't believe that lie. Oh, we're only human. I know I slip up every now and then. No, don't even make excuse for it. When you do slip up, you get on your knees and you repent. You do that 180, hallelujah, and you confess your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And then you get up and you say, okay, God, I need you to keep me because I can't keep myself. Oh, I need you to work in me because I have no power over this, Lord. I need you to work in me. Not only do I need you to work in me, but I'm going to show you how much I need you, Lord, because I'm fasting today. I'm deciding I don't want this in my life anymore. So I'm giving this to you. See, that's what God desires, a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Oh, I pray that you're getting this today. Yeah, so it is simple. It's the simple gospel. But see, that's what he gave us. Paul said this, I determined to know nothing among you but Christ and him crucified. That's it. It's the gospel. So I pray that you have been encouraged today to move in ways that may be different for you in this new normal, right? In this day and age, know that God has called you for such a time as this. Let's pray. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. Thank you, Lord, for speaking so clearly to us about the simplicity that is found in the gospel. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for reeling us back in, for putting some of us back on track, for helping us, some of us, see the basic plan of salvation. Thank you for that, Lord, for you truly are good and you've shown us, Lord. Now I pray there may be someone who just heard the gospel. You say, you know what, Pastor Will, I didn't know that was the gospel. I thought the gospel was health, wealth, and prosperity, that God just want me to be prosperous. I thought that was the gospel. Well, Jesus does say, I came that you might have life and life more abundantly. But the gospel is the fact that we were born in sin. And not only were we born in sin, there was nothing we could do about it because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ. And Jesus paid the debt for us. And all we have to do is believe. Remember, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And you say, well, Pastor Will, I do believe that. I've never made a firm commitment in that, but I do believe it. Well, you know what? That means that you are at that cusp, if you will, of just being saved. And you know what? You may even be saved. And the way you solidify that is you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. And that's the qualification to being saved. That's what the Bible tells us. So I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to pray this prayer with me. And this is for those of you who've never made a formal commitment to the gospel and to saying yes to the gospel. I've never made that commitment. I believe it now, Pastor Will. In fact, I'm hearing it very clearly, and I wanna move forward based on what I hear. Okay, I want you to pray with me. Dear Jesus, I just heard the gospel, and I believe it. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe you died for me, that you were buried, and God raised you from the dead. Now I ask that you would come into my life and I receive you as my Lord and as my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. See, for those of you may have just made that commitment. If you just made that commitment, would you use your emoji or raise your hand so I can see if you made that commitment today? I see a hand there. Praise God. I see those hands. Praise God. I want to make sure I follow it with you. I saw those and I'll follow it with you, provide you some information. Let's do this. Let's pray again, because there are many of us who have received the gospel and have been walking with the Lord, but we may have grown either cold in our witnessing or maybe in our approach to sharing our faith with people. And I want to encourage you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for those that know you and that have heard this message. And it's a simple message, but Lord, you're reminding us of what we need to be doing. You're reminding us of why you saved us. so that we would share a message of hope with others. And I pray, Father, that you would empower those that are in this service that know you. Fill them with your spirit right now and empower them, Lord, to share the gospel. Let the gospel be on the forefront of their thinking as they're engaging with people. Oh, Lord, move by your spirit in their lives. And for those of you who meet this level of prayer, you say, yeah, Pastor Will, that's me. I want you to pray this with me. Father, forgive me for not being as sensitive to those you've wanted me to be sensitive to. I repent. Now use me to give a message of hope to those in my community. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand, praise. We're making impact.